good evening, playmates, and
stop
eating your microphone. Welcome to a very musical Naked Football show this week. The excerpt you just heard there is from a track called Call Upon the Beat, an homage to possibly town's greatest ever player, Kevin Beattie. I certainly think so. What's happening with those mics?
It's you.
Is it?
Ooh,
not me.
Not me.
No, it's those two guys. I'll sort them out in a minute. And joining us in the studio, if you stop banging those mics, it can't be me. It's you.
Joining us in the studio.
It's a nightmare in my ears. Anyway, joining us in the studio to enlighten us further is indeed the composer and singer himself, town fan Asa Jenkins. Jennings.
That's the one.
Hello, mate.
No, they won't be saying that for years.
Joining Asa in another noisy microphone is North Stand season ticket holder Jerry Barker.
Hello.
And filling the gaping hole he left last week is Those Were the Days, Phil Ham.
Hello.
Okay, we'll hopefully sort out these microphones and we'll indeed find out more about the new song and also a forthcoming album, I believe. And unfortunately, we must talk about football as well. So email, as usual, studio@icrfm.co.uk, or you can drop us a text on 07797 800 712. Jerry,
yes.
Start with you for a change. You saw the Donny game, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You did. Go.
It was not that good, was it, shall we say? Very disappointing. In fact, I was slightly embarrassed by our performance, to be quite honest. We seemed quite lethargic, quite slow, and I was just saying to Phil before we came on air, wondering whether it was anything to do with the pitch, for example, as well, to try and make an excuse. We didn't seem to threaten that much. Okay, Darren Ambrose had one shot fantastically saved, but other than that, I didn't think their keeper had much to do at all. I know you get a different perspective on the television, but as I say, I was very, very disappointed. I don't know what you thought, Phil.
Yeah, I think it was one of those. It's just very lethargic, as you're saying. Yeah. Everything seemed. There seemed to be a lack of sharpness in everything. There was kind of no tempo. In the way that the game was played, and we didn't really win the midfield battle. I mean, the key, I think, to the good performances in the previous weeks had been Garvin and Szymanowski in the central midfield. I thought they'd absolutely the key, with Quinn and Norris doing all the kind of running up and down.
Yeah,
I was going to say on the flanks, but neither of them do that. They sort of come in, don't they?
Yes.
I think that's definitely the plan. But yeah, everything lacked sharpness. The corners hit the first defender, and you know, free kicks were kind of a bit lackluster, and it was just sort of, you know, everything was slightly off, wasn't it? One of those sort of days, and it, you know, and the goal, you know, it looked like Naylor got the touch when he beat the bloke to the ball, but got the header and it sent it in the wrong direction. Then Walters lost his man again at set piece, which he's done quite a lot this season. I thought he had one of his poorest games for town. And, you know, it I mean, everything was about the game was poor. I think, you know, we could sit here and just sort of pick up lots of other assets. I think the only probably decent thing was Richard Wright's save, wasn't it?
Really? Yeah.
That was excellent.
It was a good save, yeah.
And Ambrose's shot, which, as you say, Sullivan made a very, very good save from. But not really many positives to be taken from it.
No, and the formation didn't look that good either at times, I didn't think. Switched it around. Walters, as I said the last time I was on here, I still think he's got to play wide right. To me, that's his best position. He's more effective when he plays up front, not so effective.
Well, I don't think he is. But the thing, you see, everyone's sort of going on about, you know, Jim picked the wrong team. But Jim picked the team, with the exception of Gareth McCauley, who's obviously injured, that had won the games at Blackpool and largely was the same team that won against QPR and, you know, should have won against Charlton. I mean, actually, out of all those performances, Charlton was probably the best performance, but that's the one we didn't win.
Yes.
But he picked the same team going into that, and a lot of people have been going about Lisby, who had a very poor game, I thought, but he had played quite well at Plymouth, and he did all right at Blackpool, really. So I think he was trying to stick by, having had a lot of people complaining earlier in the season about the change, changing the team, he stuck with the winning side at Doncaster, but I suspect that there was perhaps one or two people getting a bit sort of lethargic after playing a lot of games, because it has been sort of two games a week for pretty much the whole season, and I wonder whether that was part of the issue.
But we're looking for excuses again.
Well, no, well, you're not looking for excuses. We've got, I mean, it depends how you look at it. Really. Excuses are reasons, aren't they? But, you know, there's clearly a reason why we didn't play very well on Saturday, and or reasons we didn't play very well on Saturday. And
I think a disappointing thing was Doncaster seemed to be there for the taking, didn't they?
I mean, I think if we'd have scored first, we'd have won comfortably, regardless of how well we played. If we'd have got an equaliser shortly after the break or midway through the second half, we'd have won probably 2-1, because it would have given that bit of belief and that bit of impetus. And Doncaster were that sort of side that if they conceded a goal, are likely to concede another one. I actually thought we missed McCauley in attack more than defensively, because they didn't really put too much pressure on us until the end when we were pushing forward. But from set pieces, I think McCauley's been a major threat, not just Saturday, but in plenty of other games. And Doncaster are very, very weak defensively on set pieces. And we did lack that kind of 6'4" central defender, the McCauley stroke DeVos type figure to play a role. I don't know if there's anything. You missed the game, didn't you, Ace? Because you were in the studio recording your record.
Yeah, I was on Saturday, which is fortunate.
Yeah, you were the lucky one missing that.
So what have you made of the season so far, before we get onto the better stuff like the music? Up to the Donny game, what have you made of it?
I've been a little bit concerned. I mean, certainly at the start of the season, with all the new faces that have come in, like, you know, McCauley's, and now we've had Vultures in and Thatchers and people like that. You know, I was expecting the team to gel a little bit quicker. I mean, a lot of them, certainly Vultz and Thatcher, have played at a high level. They are experienced pros, and you wouldn't expect them to take too long to settle into a championship side. But even when we've been, you know, on this run, sort of one defeat in 11, and, you know, we've been winning games at Plymouth, at Blackpool, you know, QPR, games like that, we still haven't looked anywhere near as good as we have. And, you know, there's been no composure. Even, you know, sort of games like Reading, you know, where we had a good second half, QPR, good last sort of 20, 30 minutes, there hasn't seemed to be any sort of consistency, any sort of tempo. And like I say, even in the games that we've won, you know, aside from the Charlton game where they were just so embarrassing that you know, we just totally dominated them, I haven't really seen us play this season anywhere near as well as we did last season.
At home, I think it's been more difficult this season. I think it was always going to be more difficult at home because of last season. Do you know what I mean? In the sense that a lot of sides, they're just coming to spoil. And I mean, Charlton's attitude, really, I mean, that purely defensive, wasn't it? I mean, I can rarely remember a side being as kind of having sort of such a lack of ambition, and a side, you know, that people would probably have expected to be pushing on. I'm sure that Jim probably feels exactly the same, that the side is perhaps taking longer to gel. And yet, how far are we off the playoffs now? We were 8th, weren't we, until we lost Saturday? We're 11th now. It's that kind of division where it can all change very quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't it?
It's just obviously, you know, looking at teams like Wolves, who, you know, in danger of possibly running away with it by sort of Christmas, New Year, if they keep like they are. You know, they seem to be picking up points against everybody, and we've yet again got this habit of dropping points against, you know, the Forests and the Doncasters. Albeit, I think, you know, one of the columnists, I think, this week, there were some stats, weren't there, about points against the
Chris, you know, Rand on TWT.
Yeah, against the bottom teams, and what was it, something like we've got half a point on average out of out of three against these teams, but we have played 5 games away and I think only the one at home. So, you know, perhaps it's a little bit false in terms of looking at it from first glance. But
there again, if you're a side that are looking at automatic promotion, you want to be beating these sides home and away, don't you? Not
Forest,
just at home.
Southampton, yeah. I mean,
you made the point there about not as good this season, you don't think, as last. Do you think there's an improvement? I mean, everybody's going on. Jim is saying, yes, we are improved from
home. We're certainly better away from home. I know we weren't against Doncaster, but generally we have been. We're certainly a more consistent side home and away, as it were, rather than being two different teams. You know, at home we were winning. But that, actually, having said that, you say we were so good last season at home. After Christmas last season, we weren't that good. I think we've said this before, that we got a lot of draws after Christmas at home, and we probably only kind of sort of kept our sort of 8th position or whatever, was probably because we started to improve a bit away, because we won 3 games.
There was a run over Christmas, wasn't it? Was it like Burnley and then Blackpool, nil-nils at home? And there was a run, wasn't there, where there was about 4 or 5 home games out of 5 or 6?
I think Chris Rand, funny enough, he did a piece about where the kind of last season went wrong. And the first half of the season, we averaged enough points to get in the playoffs. And after January, we averaged enough points to get in the playoffs. But that period around January, where we were drawing away at Blackpool, was definitely one around that time, wasn't it? Was the time that the season really went wrong. We better get on to the to other people's post-mortems of the trip to Doncaster.
Yeah, well, this is quite a serious one here, if you want to address this one. From Jimbo Crimbo, he says, do you think Walters only plays well with a head bandage on?
It's a theory, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, some sort of lucky sort of totemic thing of having a bandage around his head.
I heard his hero, Steve Foster, so that could have something to do with it.
Yeah. Oh. I did suggest that they should sell them in the club shop. And they come in different colours for different players, like Terry Butcher's coming in red. But they didn't seem to be that interested, funnily enough. But, I think, you know, he should start every game with a bandage.
The trouble is, he probably only plays with a bandage because he's hurt his head, so does that mean you've actually got to kick him in the head first?
That's the old story, isn't it? So John Lammy, who was a manager in Scotland, and bloke got injured, and the physio said, oh, he's got to come off, he doesn't know who he is. and John Lammy apparently said to the physio, tell him he's Pele and get back out there. John Tish. Right. That was well told, wasn't it?
Pabs and Lee, Phil, Bruce on the bench or off the bench or on the bench, he says, I presume that's...
Well, he's on the bench, apparently. He was going to be off the bench, wasn't he? But it looks like he's on the bench, apparently.
And on a serious note, any more ex-town players joining, do you think?
I couldn't hear that through
God, you know, it is my mind.
The noise and feedback.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Apologies for all the gremlins. Yeah, any more ex-town players joining, they ask.
Well, the only one that's been rumoured is Herman, isn't it? Yeah. And he appears to be leaving Portsmouth, definitely. That's the word from Iceland, where...
well, you met him shopping.
Yeah, me, him and Kerry Katona were all at the checkout together. No, I was going to do a thing about shopping trolleys full of vodka, but I won't.
No.
That's the word from Iceland, is he's kind of moving on, but it depends where. Now, it wouldn't be a bad shout.
It wouldn't be a bad shout.
I actually think left-back, we're sort of quite weak, because I wasn't impressed with... Thatcher, really. I mean,
he's passing's atrocious, isn't it? I mean, he looks as if he knows positionally. He seems aware, although he has been done a couple of times by sort of, you know, fairly pacey small, fullbacks like sort of Jamal Campbell Rice, that sort of player, or Sean Wright Phillips. There's been a couple of those that seem to sort of
run through his legs.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, certainly, you know, he does give us a presence. He does give something that we haven't had in past seasons. I mean, we've never exactly been renowned for having players that get stuck in, have we?
No.
Like the West Hams and the Millwalls that always seem to have these players in central midfield that break legs for fun. We have always been a sort of gentleman club, haven't we? And we have been a little bit soft at times, and certainly against teams like Doncaster, who perhaps don't play the sort of football we do. Sometimes we have needed somebody in there just to put a bit of a challenge in. I think certainly, especially with the Mendes incident, you do have to worry whether, you know, people really like playing against Thatcher, you know, whether they sort of line up against him and think, well, I'm going to get my cheekbone fractured at some point in this game, I'm going to stay away from the bloke, and maybe he does give a little bit more authority and
certainly defensively, I agree with you. I'm thinking coming forward, really. I don't think he's given much at all.
Nothing at all coming forward, no.
And same with David Wright, really. He's obviously a right-footed player playing at left back. But we've had right-footed players playing at left back, such as Mauricio Tirico, who've given a lot more in an attacking match. I mean, David Wright does very rarely gets the ball in from left back, does he? Into the box. So, you know, you could see Herman coming in as an addition to the...
I mean, when Walters has been a fixture on the right midfield, whoever's been playing at right back, whether it's Bruce or whether it's Wright or whoever, they seem to have a fairly decent understanding of where Walters is going to be. And I wonder with, you know, Quinn and Garvin and everybody else, Jim, you know, whoever else has fancied the game, Bluey, playing left midfield this season.
That's a good thought. We've not had Bluey yet.
No. Do you know whether there is, because we're constantly chopping and changing who's playing on the left of midfield. I mean, Walters has been over there, hasn't he? Haynes has been over there. Whether it is the case that whoever's playing at left back, perhaps, you know, they're not going to go forward because they're not entirely sure who's playing left midfield half the time, whether they're going to cover them and you know, whether they can get forward and commit to, you know, sort of getting crosses in and getting to the byline or whatever the case may be.
It's consistency is something that... I mean, I think the last sort of few weeks, they've started to be more consistent, haven't they? Jim said something, I can't remember where I heard it, it might have been on SGR somewhere, he said something about that he was deliberately changing, making a lot of changes early on to get players used to the system, like the squad used to the system, rather than the team used to the system, in that over the course of the season, it would benefit the performance, in that players would come in, and be able to slot in. Do you see what I mean? Rather than coming in blind, as it were. Yeah. Do you think there's something to be said for that argument?
Well, I can understand the argument, but I think you've got to have the same players. For example, we're talking about Thatcher. At least he's left-footed.
Yeah,
you bring another player in, he's not left-footed, and that gives you a disadvantage. You were talking about going down and crossing, because you've always got to cut back in and deliver on your right. That then gives the other team time to get back, to get adjusted to that position. Whereas if you can go past the player, get to the byline, cross it back, they're all facing the wrong way, the defenders, aren't they? And I think that's one of the things which we seem to lack, somebody that actually gets to the byline and comes...
Vaults when he gets to the byline, sends in some fantastic crosses, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, you know... I can understand the argument which Jim's using, but you know, you want a left back to do a left back's job, if you like. You want a left sided midfielder to do a left sided midfielder's job. It's not good. To me, it wasn't very good getting Walters, for example, to play on the left midfield. Things like that.
But he was trying to accommodate Danny Haynes, I think, by doing that, wasn't he?
Yeah. But I use that as an example on what we're talking.
I mean, aren't we looking at, you know, with the rotation side of things as well, there's got to be some certainty in the players' minds that if I come on and do a job, I'll start the next game. You know, if there's somebody in a settled side and they don't have a good game, they drop the next game, you can understand that. But also, I think there's an element of, wasn't when Stead came on against QPR and got the two goals and almost got a hat-trick at the end, didn't he, with that free kick? Yeah. Didn't he start the next game on the bench?
He did.
Blackpool?
Yeah.
And you sort of think, you know, we hadn't really done anything up front that game. Was it Lisby and Walters that started that game? You know, obviously Walters is going to be in the side, whether he's up front or in midfield. But it just seemed to be, you know, sort of Stead came on and probably ended up taking sort of man of the match. And, you know, the next game he's back on the bench again. And you sort of think, if he'd have started that game, would he have been flying? You know, was his confidence high? Would he have thought, right, there's a couple more goals in this for me today? And you sit on the bench for, you know, 45, 60 minutes or whatever the case may be. And then, you're back to square one where, you know, perhaps he hasn't now got that enthusiasm that he would have had if he'd have started and thought, you know, right, I can sort of really cement a place on the side here if I come on and do this today.
But Jim would probably say about that game where... after the QPR game, the game after QPR was Blackpool, wasn't it? That he picked the team at Blackpool, which was the team that won away at Plymouth, because he'd shown that was. I mean, it's things.
And we won again that day.
So it's difficult, isn't it? Really, and it's. I certainly think, and judging by the website, the majority of people think that Stead and Kinyago are probably our strongest pair. And that they will start Saturday. Would you go along with that?
I'd go along with that. I'd go along with starting those two Saturday anyway. We're at home after all. And yes, definitely.
Right, shall I go? Sorry, Ada.
That's okay.
Oh, Graham's exploded again.
Yes, I don't know what it is. I really don't know who it is, but never mind.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, I think certainly when we haven't had Kinyago in the side, there's been nothing between the midfield and the attack. I mean, Kinyago obviously backs in, he holds the ball up, wins the odd free kick, although he tends to give more away because he seems to upset referees early on in the game. And you know, but he does offer something. He does hold the ball up. He does bring the likes of Walters and, you know, whether it's Quinn or, you know, Ambrose now, you know, into the play. And we do look a much more threatening side. And, you know, you've noticed an impact when he's come on as sub that Lisby perhaps is looking for balls over the top to run onto. You know, Walters is looking for the flicks to try and, you know, flick onto Lisby or whoever. Whereas Kinyago seems to be, I think that's more suited to the way sort of Garvin and Shumilakoski and certainly Norris operate, is, you know, there's little sort of triangles getting the ball into Kinyago's feet and bringing other people into play rather than just lumping it up to Walters or knocking it over the top for Lisby.
Go on then, you were going to say something.
Yeah, well, now I was going to try and get through these emails. I think I might as well not use a microphone or shout. Donny, this is from Tony in Leicester. Donny, game wasn't as bad as suggested by all. We could have had two penalties. We hit the bar. Norris should have scored.
That is true.
It is, actually. So, yeah, the next three games are important. We need to get 7 points from them. David Wright is playing really well and hopefully will keep his place when all are fit.
I don't know.
I think he's playing reasonably well.
I think he's doing reasonably well, but I don't think he's getting enough into the box, certainly. I don't know. Perhaps.
I'll go on with another.
Maybe I'm being harsh. I don't know.
I'll go on with another couple because these are almost saying the same thing. Bermuda Blue. In the last few games, Jim seemed to want to stick with the winning combination of Lisby and Walters up front. Following the defeat at Donny, who does the panel think should start in attack against Derby? I would surprise if anyone chose Lisby. And that's also followed on the similar note by James Cummings, who says The dictionary defines the word frustration as a feeling of dissatisfaction often accompanied by anxiety or depression resulting from unfulfilled needs or unresolved problems.
Mm.
After Saturday's performance at Doncaster, next to this description there is now a picture of Kevin Lisby. Do any of the panel see what Super Jim sees in Lisby? Because sure as hell I don't.
Well, I don't personally. I can't see, and I do know Bermuda Blue. So hello. Yes, Lisby. I cannot really understand why we bought him. I just can't. He had one good season at Colchester. He scored 17 goals. If you look at his goals record before that, in about 10 seasons, he scored about 25 goals, and that's why I honestly can't see. To be fair to Lisby, on Saturday, he was playing a role, and you mentioned, Asa, about Canago's hold-up play. Mm. To me, that was crying out for somebody, the game we were playing,
to
hold the ball up, to help bring midfield in.
Now, Rather than running in the corners, yes, as he was. Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
No, I was surprised that we signed him, I have to say. But there again, you talk to Colchester supporters and they thought it was fantastic last year, because most of those goals came in the second half of the season in a team that was creating very little and was very poor.
It was amazing how many of those goals were on the break as well, because Colchester are under so much pressure losing 2 or 3 nil in a lot of those games that, you know, it's almost as if, you know, we've got the game in the bag now. They were pushing forward and there was a ball played over the top. Lisby was on to it and scored. So, you know, again, we're not the sort of team that's going to get chances like that. If anything, you know, we tend to be the team that, you know, hopefully dominates possession. And I always thought with Lisby as well, the concern, you know, as you've said, is that from Lisby's point of view, he, you know, a lot of the time he spent his career in the Premiership with Charlton, never really getting a game or, you know, coming on, there's the odd sub appearance. And the only game I ever remember was Liverpool when they won 4-2 and he got a hat-trick. And that was literally it, wasn't it? And he's then gone down, had one year in the Championship, scored a load of goals, and all of a sudden he's, you know, it's looked as that he's going to be the answer in that division. And, you know, I think we needed to go for somebody who was proven at this level, who's, you know, got 10, 15, 20 goals for 4 or 5 seasons. You know, and go for that sort of player rather than, I mean, okay, you know, maybe it wasn't a lot of money to us now, but certainly a few years ago, to spend that sort of money on a striker, you know, sort of 3-4 times what we paid for Alan Lee, you know, was it 600,000?
Something
like that.
Seven times. I think it's about 700 and something, wasn't it?
Paid 100 for Lee, didn't we?
Seven and a half times.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think that he was going to be the answer. Not from what I've seen of him in the past, but, you know, like I said,
bearing in mind he's 30, I think he was 30 this month.
Yeah, and he's come off 30. I mean, the thing about his goalscoring record, I suppose, is that he is largely at Premier League level, and it's also difficult to assess without looking at how many substitute appearances are in there, because so many of them were. Yeah. But
it's the same with Amiobi. I mean, if we'd have signed him, there's, you know, that seems to be such a big debate, doesn't it, as to whether he's going to be a god at this level or whether he's just completely useless. And
I've seen him a couple of times recently on Sky for Newcastle. I've been really impressed with him, actually. I think he's played really well.
Well, at least he puts himself about a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah. But he's another, you know, if he drops down to this level, he hasn't got a bad goal scoring record at Newcastle, but, you know, it's not anything to suggest if he came to this level he'd automatically be 30 goals a season.
And of course the other thing is fitness. I mean, when you fail a fitness test, a medical, which is an insurance thing really, isn't it? The risk of taking him is too high. You can never be sure. That's another thing with Lisby. I mean, he's got a history of injuries. So we'll have to see. Anything else on
Jerry, the... Jerry found the gremlin as to why the guy is not
kicking a wire.
He found the cause, has it?
It's a wire, a loose wire here. We're going to blow up any moment.
Yeah, well, I'll do this quick email. So can you all say how well Wolves are going to run away with it? Because a Wolves fan says, don't put the hex on us, but they're suggesting we might run away with it.
I think Wolves will run away.
And now
170
points. They'll exceed Sunderland's points, without a doubt, probably by Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. We should go on to Asa's record, I believe.
Go on then.
Got a couple of minutes. Asa, go on, talk us through it.
Were you named after Asa Hartford?
I wasn't named after him, no.
Have you got a hole in your heart?
Because that's the only other Asa I've ever heard.
And we all know who he went on to play for after I was...
Oh, of course, yes, sorry, that was an insult, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
No,
I believe Asa Hartford, my mum and dad were aware of him from Match of the Day, that sort of thing, and I think my mum liked the name, or my dad liked the name, and, you know, that was it.
So Kevin Beattie, I mean, did you ever watch him play? Because you're quite young, aren't you?
Well, after the sort of records came about, I was quoted in quite a few of the papers as having seen Beattie play like 500 times. And,
yeah.
But no, the only game I saw was Dynamo Moscow when I was two, which was the first game my dad took me to. Obviously, I don't remember a lot of the game, but, you know, it's mainly just sort of, I think that was the last game he played, because he was sent to me the other week, he broke his arm, didn't he, at Man City in the semi-final.
Yeah.
And then there was the testimonial, and that was it. You know, that was the last game he played for us. So it's all been sort of videos and DVDs and, you know, that sort of thing. So I've obviously grown up knowing who he was and, you know, what a legend he was. But no, you know, apart from that one time, I've not seen him play, no.
He's a bit special, wasn't he? You'll remember him,
aren't you?
You two
can talk about him more than I can, because I'm a bit young as well.
Yeah, us older people can talk about him. Fantastic player.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
When he was coming through, was it like, I don't know, how it is now when you're talking about the likes of Garvin and whatever coming through, you're just sort of thinking, oh, you could see, you know, when he was sort of coming through at 17 or whatever, you're watching him and thinking, well, he's going to be a bit special.
And the other one I thought was really special at all ages was Mick Mills when he was coming through.
I thought you were going to say Mick Stockwell then.
No, Mick Stockwell.
He was a servant, as they say.
He's brilliant.
No, he... But Kevin Beattie, because he had the build, he had the power, he had the pace, he had everything.
It's not even that tall, is he, really? He's just he could leap like a salmon and hang there for about 10 minutes.
He's 5'10", isn't he?
Is he? Is that all he is?
Yeah.
He's an amazing guy.
Yeah.
He must have seen him fill it.
I had seen him, but obviously I was still quite young. Yeah. That was in, 81 that he stopped playing for us, really, wasn't it? That was the Man City game was the second last game.
Right, and this song, which we will end the show with, is it going to be on the new album as well?
It's going to be on my second album, which is going to be out at some point next year. I'm still working on that at the moment, so this is one of the tracks that was put together.
But it'll be a single soon?
It's a single, it's out on hopefully the 8th of December, but I've said the 15th of December just to be safe. So I'm waiting on the reproduction of the CD at the moment, and there's about a 10-day turnaround. So it's with the factory now in Manchester, and just waiting for the CDs to reach me.
And it'll be available on twtd.co.uk.
It will, yeah.
That's excellent, isn't it? That's another rip. Oh, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I blame Graham.
Jerry, stop pouring water in
the mic.
Graham's brought some cider in the desk. That's what's happened.
Probably cider. That's great, isn't it, Graham? And Ipswich songwriter again, writing about a true legend.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And so,
and the club are going to play it, I believe, is that right?
Hopefully so, yeah. I mean, I've spoken to them at the moment. They played one of my tracks from the first album against the Leicester game last December. So, I mean, hopefully, bearing in mind it's you know, also inspired by a town legend, you know, hopefully they're going to do the same. So I've asked if they can do it at the sort of Bristol City and Cardiff games. I'm just sort of waiting to hear back now.
Well, if they don't, we can all send them back.
Absolutely. So we'll leave you with the very track Call Upon the Beat by Asa Jennings. And thanks, Asa, for turning up.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you again soon, hopefully. And Jerry, thanks again.
Thank you.
And Philip, of course, who we'll probably see next week, unfortunately.
Yeah, and Graham.
And
thank
I apologise to everyone for these gremlins. I blame Jerry for no other reason than I can.
Thank you.
Till next week, everyone, have a good one. And this is Call Upon the Beat. Places